are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. It is April 30th, 2021. Two-part show today. First part, Stephen Simcox and I discuss no Big 12 players being drafted in this year's draft. Let me take a look at the first six picks of the 2021 NFL draft and discuss the moves that were made there. In part two, we'll discuss the rest of the draft and some of the storylines heading into day two. Here comes part one about the top six picks in last night's draft. Hello, everybody. It is the Locked On Big 12 podcast today. We are reacting to the draft that happened last night. Joining me, it is Stephen Simcox of the Locked On Horned Frogs podcast. Stephen, you know, I feel like refreshed this morning. I talked about how frustrated I was the other day. I feel refreshed. I'm glad it's the first round's behind us. I really am.
Yeah, I'm glad too. And it's always a fun night. As much as we talk about it, there's always unexpected things that happen. I didn't think there were a ton of crazy reaches last night, but there were a few that we can get to here in a minute. Initially though, Josh, what was your thought? You know, Trayvon Merrick, I thought he would go. He didn't, which a bunch of TCU fans were like really upset. And I tried to tell him on the podcast, I was like, listen, I get you're disappointed, but he's going to get picked on Friday. Like, it's going to be okay. I'm sad for him. But what was your reaction to zero Big 12 guys going? And I'm sure that's something we'll never hear about ever again from other conferences.
The goose egg. I saw something today that said it was the first time a power conference did not have a player taken since the Big East. The Big East, Stephen, in 2006. I mean, just
the old Big East, yeah.
The Big East, right? RIP to the Big East. They live on, you know, well, I guess it's one record that the Big 12 is now taking from them. So a little part of the Big East died last night. Yeah, you know, I tweeted out from the Locked On Big 12 account, and I'm sure you saw it too. The over-under I set, and I saw on multiple betting sites, not just Bet Online, was 2.5. 2.5 Big 12 players was the idea because we thought Tevin Jenkins would go. We thought Trayvon Morgan. I mean, I said pretty out, you know, I was pretty out there saying, yeah, I mean, those two guys, I'd be shocked if they fell out of the first round. And not just one of them, both of them did. Not a sniff of Creed Humphrey, but I will say this. And this is like kind of positive spin zone. Those guys, I mean, a bunch of Big 12 guys can get drafted today. Tylan Wallace, I expect to go. Tevin Jenkins, I expect to go. You know, obviously Trayvon Morig. You know, even the other safety from TCU, I'm forgetting his name, Ardarius Washington.
Correct? Washington, yeah.
Yeah. I think he might be a day two guy. You know, so there's even Chuba Hubbard, there's a chance that he could go on a day like today if someone wants to reach for running back. So plenty of Big 12 optimism today, but I will say this. Last night was a pretty big bummer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a buzzkill for sure. And, you know, as that started to play out, I guess it's easy to say with hindsight now, but about pick 25, I was like, I don't know if any of these teams really need a safety. So unless Merrick's like top of their board, I'm not sure he gets picked. I was surprised that Tevin didn't get picked though, because you can always use offensive line help. And that seems like if you're like late first round and you don't have any needs, like the Bucks, especially since they're returning every starter, thanks Tom Brady, that they could just go O-line. But they went D-line instead, and there was a run at edge rushers at the end of the draft. So a lot of guys are going to get picked today, and they might end up in better situations. But Thursday's such a big deal now that because it's the only round happening, that it does feel like you got left out of the party on round one.
You know, I'll tell you this, though. Next year, I mean, there's a really good chance, because at this point in time, how many quarterbacks we get round one? What was it? Five? Was it five, the number?
Yeah, five.
Lawrence, Wilson, you end up getting Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and then Justin Fields. I don't think there was a doubling up on any conference. I don't think any conference had two guys. I know for a fact next year, I mean, I can pretty confidently say that next year, Spencer Rattler is going to be a first round pick, maybe even the first pick. Brock Purdy's probably going to be a first round pick. like if he plays better than, I mean, here's the thing. If that team wins and he plays well and he plays like he did the back half of last season, it's gonna be a first round pick. Like that's where kind of those guys get valued. And especially because I think last year, if he had a good season last year, he could have left and been a first round pick. He didn't have that opportunity next year because one of the big guns are like Jaden Daniels and Keaton Slovis. And there is a big downside for those guys, right? Those guys have a big downside. And so I could definitely see a situation where, you know, Brock Purdy is going to be a first round guy. And if you're a first round guy, your quarterback, usually you start trending towards the top of the board. You know what I mean? You usually don't start trending back in the first round. You usually start turning forward.
No, people come up to get you. So I can see a team falling in love with Brock Purdy. And I also just think we need to realize, like, Alabama is its own separate category from the SEC. Like, they don't even really exist in, you know, that world. Sort of like Clemson from the ACC. But part of the issue with the Big 12 is, OU just hasn't had that sustained playoff success / you know, putting guys in the league every single year. But Spencer Rattler is certainly going to be a high draft pick. I think Brock Purdy has a chance. Now that I think about it, next year will be a good year for the Big 12, hopefully.
Breece Hall, I know he could be that running back. I think Breece's skill set uniquely puts him in a place where he's not going to have the Steve Sarkisian shine like Najee Harris would. But if Breece has another outstanding year, both running and catching the football, then there's a good chance. I mean, they got to develop that part of his game. But I think he's got the ability to do it. There's a chance that he could be that guy that's taken as a running back, you know, towards the top. And then we'll see usually some offensive linemen from this conference emerge. I know people love Jake Springfield from Oklahoma State too. So they've got a chance next year to have a bunch of guys. And I think somebody from the OU defense is going to go up top. I think somebody from that D will. All right, let's talk about the guys who did go last night. So the draft started at 3. That was the big talk, right? Number one, let's just start at number two. What did you think of Zach Wilson's get up? Did you see like Twitter yesterday was going crazy? Looked like a 12-year-old. Looked like also somebody who's taking a job for a venture capital firm. How did you feel about the look?
I mean, the look was fine. I guess I've never really studied Zach Wilson's face too much. I didn't realize that he looked so young. He did look pretty out of place. And one thing about Zach, you know, I feel like a lot of times this stuff is just narrative building and it's BS. But I do think there's something to – he wasn't a super highly recruited guy. He goes and plays in Provo, Utah. He was a pretty anonymous player until last year. Mm-hmm. And now he's the face of the Jets. Like, that is a pretty big step. Jump for him, a big step for him. Doesn't mean he can't handle it. And I think – I've also found out last night, I guess his grandfather or father is like very high up in JetBlue. So he has a pretty good support system, I'm sure. And is probably could probably find a place that's not a studio apartment in Manhattan. But it is going to be interesting watching him take on that role and go from, you know, a place where everybody loved him and he was the dude to a spot where they're going to criticize and critique every single thing he does. And he's going to have to save that franchise pretty quickly. I mean, they're going to want immediate results.
I'll tell you what, if somebody supports the New York Mets, you know, Steven, Francisco Lindor is already hearing the boos, right? He's already hearing them. We're what? Not even 20 games into the New York Mets season. He's already getting booed. I will say this, and this is something that I've known about Zach Wilson ever since I watched early on, just because I remember hearing the nickname Mormon Manziel. And I wanted to watch him and see, hey, what's all this about? And actually, I thought earlier in his career, he did really remind me of Johnny Manziel, especially with a lot of the risks that he would take. The guy is supremely confident. Supremely, supremely confident. You know, to potentially damaging levels, I guess we'll have to see. But there is a lot of talk about how much he does believe in himself. And I do think there is a certain factor of self-belief that does really factor into a lot of these situations. Now, I will say the guy hasn't dealt with a ton of adversity in his life. I did see somebody say, Zach Wilson is self-made was the quote. And I guess from a success standpoint, like, no, not really, but like you could make the argument as a football player. Yeah. He's had to make it himself, but yes, the JetBlue stuff is, it's not really that blue collar background, which people I think just they pinned blue collar on him because he's white, right? That's mm-hmm. kind of what we do here.
Yeah.
And they pinned that on him, and it's like, dude, he's not blue collar. He is flashy. He is confident. He's a sports car. Like, to kind of use a Colin Coward, like, he is a Mercedes. He is a Maserati. You know, it's got its downsides, but he can get it done. He's got a lot of flash.
Correct. This is not Mac Jones, like, just making good reads and getting the ball out quick. I mean, this is a dude with a rocket for an arm who, as you said, likes to fit it in tight coverage and is supremely confident. And why not? I mean, it seems like things have gone pretty well for him so right. far. So there's some things to back up that belief. And you do have to have a certain level of that if you're going to play in the NFL, if you're going to play in that market. It'll just be intriguing to see with him having a defensive coach, you know, how much they value not turning the ball over and making sure that you're being efficient, you're getting down the field. I think there's a lot of potential there with Zach, but it's a huge step up. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not – BYU was great last year, but they also kind of made their own schedule and, you know, played the teams they could and wanted to, and he exceeded at that. So it really intriguing that you had two QBs from sort of like group of five schools, or, you know, Trey Lance with an FCS school background going at 2 and 3 there back to back.
Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar for a long time. If you have not tried it yet, what in the hell are you waiting for? Built Bar is the low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate. Remember this promo code. It is LOCKED15. It's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. If you guys go to BuiltBar.com right now, use that promo code, once again, LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off on your first purchase. What are you waiting for? Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Try all of their amazing Built Bars. Get the variety pack. Use that promo code, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off at your next purchase at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, Trey Lance is the next pick we got to get to. So this was kind of the Vegas favorite at the time, right? This was kind of where Vegas was trending. They a lot of late value, a lot of late, you know, late money seemed like it was coming in on Trey Lance pretty heavy. Here's my problem with Trey Lance. I just don't understand the fit, because I thought, you know, when I looked at this 49ers team, they were still competitive last year, despite the fact that the entire team was injured. Like, the entire team was injured. They were still really well coached, really hard team to beat. And I think about that, and I think about this is a team that thinks they're close, right? They got a really good coach, very good core. They think they are a close team. Trey Lance is not the guy I'm taking if I think my team is close to winning, right? I mean, this guy who played one football game, you and I talked about it, ever since his championship game against JMU in early 2020, he has played one football game against Central Arkansas. The guy started, what, like 17 total games in college? I mean, the step up he's going to have to make is pretty significant. I know, once again, the offense he ran was very NFL comparable. The protections, he was calling those out, you know, making the reads, all that kind of good stuff. Still, I think the learning curve is going to be there for a guy that needs to be ready to help this team win pretty soon, because we know that how it works in the NFL. Your window is small. Unless you're like the Patriots, your window to win a championship is small.
It is, and it's not like the 90s anymore, where you take a rookie quarterback and the thought is, let's sit him on the bench for a year and a half and let him soak everything in. Now, I saw that the Niners, like, one of the reasons they love him is because they thought he was the smartest dude in mm-hmm. the draft. Like, they were just – they thought his on-the-board work was off the charts. I still keep coming back to, if I'm trading up to 3, I'm taking Justin Fields. But I like the Trey Lance pick better than Mac Jones. I think there was so much Mac Jones talk about the 49ers that, like, I exhaled when they selected Trey Lance. Like, I was right. relieved for them that they yeah. went with him. But he is a project. And Jimmy G is there for a season, I guess. Maybe not, though. They might try to unload him. We'll see kind of what that looks like. And obviously the Aaron Rodgers rumors are a huge wild card in this as well now, even though San Francisco took a swing at that apparently and was buffed, so they end up with Trey Lance. But if he has to step in immediately, it is going to be difficult. And as you said, how long can you keep this group together? And there's also, I mean, maybe Kyle Shanahan is the guy that sort of changes this trend. But a couple seasons ago, we all thought Sean McVay was like the smartest human that ever walked the face of the earth. Right. And the Rams are still good, but they're not in the Super Bowl every year. You know, we're not taking anyone who spoke with Sean McVay for 10 minutes as a head coach anymore. Like that sort of changed in the last few off seasons. So is Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he's a good football coach, but is his scheme going to keep winning out over some of these defenses, even with limited personnel?
Yeah, it's a great question. And for, you know, I do think that the Mac Jones stuff at the end was a lot more media hearsay. I don't think they were ever really that close. They can say they were laboring back and forth, but I think once they really picked the brains of those two guys, I think they really liked what they saw with Trey Lance. I think that's what they were leaning. And then Kyle Pitts at four, like, hell yeah, Atlanta. I'm kind of involved in Atlanta Twitter. All the people I follow who are Braves fans, they're like, we're going to Atlanta this one. We're going to Falcons it up. No, they didn't. This is the right pick.
It was. Yeah, cut the brakes. I mean, just go for it. Like, let's go score 40 a game, figure out the defense later on. You can address that in different rounds. I mean, Kyle Pitts, you know, I did hear the chatter, well, you don't know when you're going to pick four again. You have to take a quarterback. I mean, Kyle Pitts is arguably the best player in this draft. So I think he's going to be great immediately. And he could be great and you could be bad again. And maybe you'd quarterback next year, but they're going to be fun. They're going to be a fun team. And on paper, you know, unless they go trade Julio Jones this offseason at some point, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts, if you have any semblance of a running game, which you probably will because of the weapons I just listed, it's a matchup nightmare for teams playing the Falcons.
Yeah, it's their offense is going to be killer this season. Once again, you know, I like Arthur Smith, their head coach. Love what he did with the offenses there in Tennessee. All right, so Penei Sewell did not get picked five or six. You know,
what are you doing, Cincy?
Like, I have to assume there's a plan for the tackle position for them.
There has to be, right?
And they, you know, Tevin Jenkins is still there, so they can take a tackle, but I don't know if I'd put him at left tackle, right? I think I like Tevin Jenkins a lot because he can play both guard and tackle. I think that's why I kind of like the flexibility there. I'm not sure I love him as a surefire left tackle or a right tackle, right? That's what I kind of like about, you know, his nastiness in the run game. That doesn't always, you know, go to pass game, whatever. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have a plan for tackle. I love Ja'Marr Chase. He was my first receiver. He was, you know, if you ask me, a favorite receiver in the draft, Ja'Marr Chase. I thought he was the best offensive player on that, besides Joe Burrow, on that championship team. LSU, I really did. I am a huge believer in him. Protection goes first, in my opinion. Look, you got a first-round pick, right? And a first number one overall pick in Joe Burrow. You have a number seven overall pick in Ja'Marr Chase. How useful are they if you can't protect the quarterback?
They're not. And I love Ja'Marr Chase too. Former Kansas commit. The real ones know.
I had no idea he committed to Kansas.
He was a KU commit for a minute. He was also reportedly really close to committing to TCU at one point, and he was going to make an announcement on the NFL Network, but then they had like a programming change at the last minute, so he didn't do it. So that's why I cringe every time I hear his name. But he's a great, great player, a fun player to watch. As you said, though, like if you can't keep Joe Burrow upright, it doesn't really matter. And as much as I like Ja'Marr Chase, you can get good wide receivers in round two and round three. It's pretty rare that you find like foundational linemen like that late in the draft. So it just feels like Joe Burrow made that pick. And I mean, I get you have to keep your QB happy, but I feel like he might have come around if he realized that I can stand up in the pocket longer and make these reads better with Sewell next to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where I guess Joe Burrow made the pick. They have to go tackle at some point. They need to figure out that. But you got to protect your assets. That's a really big part of it here. All right, six, Jalen Waddle. I thought this was interesting. I would have gone Devontae Smith here, but Jalen Waddle is game breaker, right? I think a lot of people, you know, you see a whole lot of Tyreek Hill, right? People think that's kind of what could happen here. You know, he returns punts. He's an electrifying player. I would have gone for an offense that needs more stability, in my opinion. I would have gone with Devontae Smith just because I like Devontae Parker. He's been up and down at a really one really awesome year. Really wasn't great as a wide receiver one. I like Mike Gesicki a lot. I think he's a really good tight end piece. I think Devontae Smith would have been a really solid option. I know people aren't, you know, people don't love him because of his size or whatever, but to me, you know, his size doesn't really matter because he's always open. Like, his frame doesn't matter. His size doesn't matter because he's always open. So I like that about him, and I think that's solid. And also, he's got chemistry with your quarterback. I know Jalen Waddle does too, but I think that, you know, that just kind of, all right, I can really trust this. It's why I go Devontae Smith. But Jalen Waddle could be a game-breaking pick.
He could be, yeah. I mean, Smith, I don't really buy into the size thing. I think it is a factor, but he was never, you know, super banged up at Alabama. Now, I mean, Waddle was kind of the consensus guy before he got hurt, and you do pair him up with Tua. I think Miami, and I know they got a lot of assets out of it, so I can't complain about it too much. It does seem like, though, they kind of, like, did all this maneuvering, and you miss out on Kyle Pitts, you end up getting Jalen Waddle. So you might look down the road and say, well, they got so-and-so with these other picks, but I don't know. I feel like they just kind of missed an opportunity there. Waddle's going to be a good wideout, though, and I have questions. You know, the Tua rookie season was such a mixed bag. I have some questions, but I like Brian Flores a lot. So mm-hmm. if they can get some more dynamic players on offense, then this is going to be a good team in the AFC East.
All right, that will do it for part one. Part two will be coming out later on in the day. It'll probably be in your podcast feed now when you see this, so go check that out as well. Follow us on Twitter at LOBig12 and follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe.